In our gospel reading, a delegation of Greeks come to inquire about a meeting with Jesus. These would have been ethnically Greek people who were converting to Judaism. They were coming to the Holy Land to learn more about their newly acquired Jewish faith. So they were called technically proselytes. That is, those people who were converting into the Jewish religion. They hear about this teacher, Jesus, a rabbi, and they make a request that they would have a private audience with Jesus, that they would see him, be able to speak with him, and be able to hear from him. They ask Andrew and Philip, and they relay the message to Jesus. And on the surface, it seems that Jesus changes the subject, maybe even dismissing them and ignoring their request. But what really happens is he's actually granting them a greater vision of who Jesus is by his response. That they won't just see him in his earthly ministry. They won't just hear him speak while he is with us on earth, but that he's going to be raised up high on the cross, not just for the Jewish people, not just for the Greeks in addition, but for all nations, tribes, tongues, and peoples, that they would see Jesus rightly. They would see him as the Savior of the world who takes away all of our sin, nails it to the cross, and rises victoriously from the dead. So that the answer the Greeks get is simply a delayed vision of Jesus. They will one day see him for who he truly is, as the crucified and now risen Savior that Jesus is. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I see many of you are wearing green. I'm hiding mine a little bit because it's not liturgically correct, but my green is here and my Celtic cross. St. Patrick is an inspiration, not just for the Irish people, but for all believers in Jesus. It's why we remember him this day. It's why we celebrate his life and his ministry. Did you guys know that when St. Patrick was about your age, he was not living in Ireland. He was living in what we would call Wales. So it was across the water from Ireland on the British island, right next to England. And he was just minding his own business when Irish pirates stole him from his family and enslaved him and took him into Ireland, where he served as a slave, most of the time as a shepherd's slave. So he was in charge of the master's sheep. So this was forced labor. This is what we would call today as human trafficking. Sadly, still happening today. Young people still being robbed from their families and homes and forced into labor, sadly, all over the world, including the United States. But while he was there, he had a lot of time to think. In fact, he would spend long nights doing the night shift, watching the sheep, sometimes months at a time, through the winter, in the cold. And he had a lot of time to think. And one of the things he tells us is that he grew up in a nominal Christian home. And what that means is that his father was a deacon. They went to church every Sunday, but it really didn't mean much to them. They were just kind of going through the motions of religion, doing the things that we're doing even this morning, singing songs, right? Ringing bells, receiving communion, hearing the word of God, but it wasn't reaching from the head to the heart. And so Patrick said that sadly his father, even though a deacon, it didn't really give him a good childhood, And so when he was robbed from his home and brought into Ireland, and he started to think about his home, he felt very lonely. He didn't know how to connect with God. Then we don't know what exactly happened, but Patrick did something, he says, unspeakable in order to escape Ireland. He gets on a boat and he goes to what we would call modern day France, or Gaul, G-A-U-L, which is the Gaelic or the Irish part of France. And there he encountered a vibrant church. He started to learn more about Jesus from the scriptures. He probably took communion for the first time in a meaningful way, realizing that his sins are forgiven and that Christ is there in his body and blood. We're receiving him into our mouths and into our hearts to strengthen us, body and soul, to life everlasting. And then he had a vision, and he was probably in his early 20s. And somebody came to him in a vision, a man from Ireland, with a letter. And on the envelope of the letter, it said, "A cry from the Irish." He opened up that letter, and it was a simple message. It said, "Little boy, come and walk with us again." And so this young man left a new homeland in France, and he went to Ireland and became what we now know as St. Patrick, the missionary, the bishop, the one who had a heart for Christ, and the one who wanted all people to have a vision. That letter basically was, "We wish to see Jesus." And so Patrick, by his profession of faith, by his teaching, by his life's example, extended the good news of Jesus Christ to this people who had not yet heard about Jesus, learned about him, and probably converted tens of thousands of people. But remember, he used to be just like you. He was a young man, a young person who struggled through life, who struggled through nominal Christian faith, and then took it upon himself, made it his own, and then served God with all of his heart. This is how we see Jesus in our lives, in our service to one another. We see Jesus, we hear his voice when we read scripture, when we hear it come into our ears. We'll come shortly, and we'll take Jesus into our hands, his body and blood, the bread and the wine. We will receive him into our mouths for forgiveness. We receive him into our hearts to strengthen us, body and soul, into life everlasting. And so our job is to see Jesus, to see him in one another, and to see him as he comes to us in his body and his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.